This is a discussion format, not this not you, you guys discussing with us, but this is a chance for you to listen to them. I'm going to ask the questions, and they're going to give the answers. I'll pipe in a few things here and there. It's hard for me not to. And then at the very end, we'll have some closing comments. And we are going to save time for questions at the end of this afternoon, okay? So you'll have plenty. I would just say, hey, as those things come up, just write them down. The format today is this. We're going to talk about the difficulties, the benefits of co-counseling with someone who is not your spouse, and then things that you as a lady can do to help through that process. So things you can do to help, the benefits, the difficulties, and then we'll have some closing comments. That's how the questions will be organized. Let me introduce everybody. First of all, Carrie Phillips is the first one on my right. Carrie started counseling in 2011, I believe, and right, 2011, yep, and is certified by ACBC. And Carolyn Ray also started 2011 and is also ACBC certified, has done a lot more ministry than just the counseling for a long time here at the church with women's ministries. And then on the far right is Sue Miller, who's been counseling a lot longer, got her master's in biblical counseling in 2012. 2012, and was my counseling assistant, not my administrative assistant. The admin does the administrative type work that the counselor does not do. My counseling assistant did a lot of interviewing and a lot of counseling, and she heads up our women's ministries and still does a lot of counseling. So they're all certified. They all have a lot of experience in counseling and all have co-counseled with me, and none of them are my wife. And my wife, is she here?
No.
She chickened out. She's such a chicken.
She says she only counsels with you.
She does. My wife only counsels with me. Yeah. What's that? No, 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 no. She would not like that term. No, no, no. So there's a lot to be said about this. It's an awkward thing when you're co-counseling as a lady because he's leading it and like, well, what am I doing? I'm there, but what do I? How does this all function? If most of the ladies are counseling ladies and they provide the organization, they move the counseling along, they do the homework, they do everything, right? And then you're counseling with a man and like, okay, so I don't have any control over much of anything in this. What do I do? When do I pipe in? When do I not? What mistakes could I make, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the kind of questions that we're going to ask. I think this will be really beneficial for you ladies who are actually counseling a married couple with a guy. If it has not yet been yet, it will most likely happen to you. And then this hopefully will, you remember these things. So we're going to start talking about the difficulties of counseling with a guy who's not your husband. And Sue, why don't you lead us off?
Okay, I will. So for sure, the first thing that was difficult for me was walking into the counseling room and truly having no idea what was going to happen.
That's probably my fault.
Because I started with him, counseling with him, that's why that happened. Because subsequently, I would meet with the guy beforehand in order to know what his plans were. But since I knew Steve, it was not so hard because I would just, if I wanted to say something, I would just make eye contact with him. And at some point in time, he would kind of nod to me that it was okay for me to say something, which works really well, I think. But it was definitely an odd thing to not have my plan to implement and to just trust Steve, which I do trust him. But yeah.
Which would be helpful for the guys that are here if you're co-counseling with someone who's not your wife to know that that's the position that they're in.
Yeah, and then I'll just jump to another one that kind of leads into that is because I knew Steve, I wasn't concerned about how he was going to counsel. But there are some guys, now that I've been doing this for 10 years, there are some guys who are pretty brand new at this. And so for me to have some confidence, I would then ask them if I could meet with them in advance so that we could just talk about the direction that he was going and maybe talk about how to cue each other or, you know, when should I ask a question, those kinds of things.
Good. So. Okay, and Carolyn.
This was mostly when I was counseling with another guy that wasn't you. This particular thing was awkward. He had a completely, I mean, I was trained by Steve, so I kind of, I mean, it still is weird to walk in and not quite know what the agenda is. But this other counselor at this church that I was paired up with to counsel a couple, he did everything on his iPad. It was like everything was digital, which was totally foreign to me, and caught me off guard at first. And then I grew to get it, you know, after a few sessions. But I'm like, everything's on paper. I'm taking notes. And it was just two completely different counseling styles. And he had the lead. So that's just another thing that is a little bit awkward at first. Because when you're just counseling a woman in the room, like Steve said, you're in charge. You know, I'm in charge of the agenda, the flow, and all that. And then to have somebody not only be in charge, but do it in a completely different style. Everything's on electronic. There's no pencils or paper or anything like that. Was
question
just
about
weird
that.
To get used to.
Did he start sending you in advance his agenda, or did you just start using an iPad? Or
so that was the no. I never started using an iPad. I'm just not good at that. I'm pencil to paper. The other thing, just about the digital style, you know, versus paper and pencil. He was very much more laid back, just in personality style. Just a whole different thinking. I'm a processor, so it takes me a little bit longer to do planning, and he wasn't quite so much a processor. So what I learned I had to do was I would shoot him an email and just say, hey, what's your plan for today or tomorrow or whenever it was? And he was really good about responding. But again, it's just kind of getting to learn what's that other person's style that then I need to follow instead of me setting the tone for it. So I just took on the responsibility of just asking him, what's going on? Because I knew he always had his electronic devices on him, so he would answer my questions.
Okay, so we're still talking about difficulties in counseling with somebody that's not your husband. And I counseled with, I was a brand new counselor, and Steve called me in on a case. And so already I had, you know, he's my pastor, he's my boss. And so I would say I kind of went the other way. I didn't say anything. I just thought I was going to be the mute, you know, observer. So he kind of had to say, hey, you can participate here. He was great. Kind of give me a 5 minute before we were counseling. Okay, this is what I expect your role to be. This is, you know, what my role is. And that was so helpful. Of course, I was like deer in the headlights when it was, well, because you guys know they filled out the counseling form and it was actually not really like what they had filled out. It was quite different. So I was sort of like a deer in the headlights the entire time and probably didn't speak up enough. And I think that's something as a wife, we're used to be, if you're a wife and counseling, you go under your husband's authority, which was not a problem, but I've worked with him a bunch, but I didn't know exactly, you know, how that was going to play out in a counseling situation with two other people that are having some problems. So he actually, after a couple of sessions, was like, you know, you can pipe in sooner. But that was something that we just needed to learn about how each other's style is, that we did learn. And then the other gentleman that I counseled with, very strong Christian also. And I don't think I had as much hesitation because of what I had learned under Steve. And then he wasn't my pastor, the other guy too. So I didn't have the pastor trepidation. I know you always laugh about that, but it is a thing.
I understand it though. I mean, I do. So you, you're, I think what you're saying is you kind of have to find you as a counselor in a co-counseling situation, like who are you? And with that particular person, how comfortable they are and how the two of you work together.
Right. How to help in a way that's helpful, I think, is what you learn. And since it's not your husband, you kind of have to figure it out. You know, as they have each said, they had to adapt based on who they were counseling with so that they were effectively helping.
Did any of you come up to a situation where you disagreed with the counsel, either the direction or that the counseling was going, like what we're starting with first, or maybe even what was said? And what I'm leading there is, how would you say that? What is the best way for her to handle that when that comes up?
Okay, I had a, we were counseling a couple, and the counselor was really, really hard on the wife. Really hard on the wife. And I was, so I had been counseling her separately. And I probably knew more than he did about what actually was going on. So that was a really hard thing for me in that one session. But then once we were finished with that session, then I got the opportunity to just talk to him and fill him in on things that maybe he didn't know.
I think you did that once with me, too, in one of the cases where you needed to fill me in on some things that I didn't know. That's a great lesson right there, is that we don't know everything. That's part of the having two counselors in the room. You're not hearing everything the same. And oftentimes, the women are meeting more often individually than, I mean, it's often in a marriage counseling thing that the gals meet together, the guys don't, and the couples meet together. So Sue and I counsel a couple, but Sue also counsels the gal, but I don't counsel the guy. They usually have less time or inclination to do that, where there's usually like more phone conversations or what have you with the ladies. So there's information that she has that I don't have. And that's complicating, right? Yeah.
Should there be a cue to, maybe we need to break away for a minute to, so you guys can talk? If you're going on without information?
The way I would answer that is no. Just table it till later. You can just, I mean, Sue would be really gracious and just say, she would probably, how would you say that, Sue? Because you're so gracious all the time. Not that you ladies aren't, but I've been in that situation with Sue. So, I mean, how would you say that?
After the meeting, you mean?
Mm-mm. Right on the fly, right, Daryl? Right on the fly. If you're thinking, oh, Steve doesn't know something that I do.
Okay. I would probably ask the wife to share what she was feeling that she was maybe being misunderstood about.
See, there you go.
that does raise a question. How do you manage, I'm going to call it the need or desire to make a handoff, to say, you might be saying, I have something relevant that I really think is a good in here, or I'm feeling like I've finished with what I want to say. I want to be ready to hand the baton back. How do you manage that?
What I was going to say also that relates to that and the gentleman in the back's question is clearly if the man is taking the lead, I probably do a lot more taking notes than he's doing. And I'll star things, I'll quick write things out in the margin that I want to make sure I get back to. And then I literally will wait for you to take a breath or to pause, and I'll kind of lean forward. Can I say something here? Is this a good time to talk? Like, you mm-hmm. can just say that. But if I don't write it down to kind of keep track, because as I'm tracking along with the conversation and trying to remember what I want to say, and I try not to interrupt, but look for a convenient time. Yeah, but I definitely use my notepad. And I kind of keep it on my, I mean, this is just a practical thing. I'll lean back and keep it so that I don't want, like, the people sitting across the table to see what I'm taking notes on. So I kind of keep my notes really private as he's talking and make little stars and arrows and things like that to make sure I can get back to that and wait for him to take a breath.
It's really funny that you said that, because I actually just realized, when you're talking about body language, I just realized when you want to talk in a counseling session that you lean forward.
I do.
But I knew it then. I just didn't realize that's, yeah. So you were doing that purposely, or is that your normal way? Like in a women's council meeting, is that how you normally would get your voice heard? You lean in?
Yes, probably. Yeah, I probably just do it. I'm just like.
That's pretty good. Did you want to answer that?
Yeah, I would say I didn't really have that much of an issue with that. He's very gracious. If he's counseling with somebody, he'd say, you know, do you have something you want to add or do you have a question? The other thing I've found out in counseling, just in my own situations, if you don't have time to bring it up that session, you know, prayerfully, they're coming back next week, you know, and I haven't found that to be that big of an issue. It's always something that we can cover again later.
So one of the things that I wanted to mention with all of them is that I was on some pretty extreme cases with them. In fact, Carrie's one with me was spousal abuse, both directions. Both had physically harmed the other. Not as extreme as it, you know, obviously things can get very extreme, but there, I mean, he did land himself in jail, I think, for a night, but it was maybe a little bit, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't comment. So they've all been on some extreme situations. And I wanted to make sure I commented that I would say that the ladies here tend to be on the too quiet side in co-counseling with me. They tend to be so wanting to trust the leadership of the guy that there's a tendency to not offer what I want them to offer. I want them to do more. So I found myself encouraging all the ladies I've worked with, including my wife, that you're here because I want you here. I want you talking. The only position you don't want to be in as a woman is to usurp the position of leadership in the meeting, right? But they're so worried about that that their tendency is to be too laid back. Thus, I end up encouraging, talk more. And they're trying to find their place. And, oh, you know, the whole pastor card thing, you know. So the ladies ought to work that out, you know, with the guys that are in the room there and just talk about it. Once you talk about it, in just a matter of minutes, you're going to know what to do with each other. So, like, it's helpful. Okay.
I have a question.
You have a question. Fire. What about?
Didn't really answer that. Did you? Or like you're hard on the wife, like you don't know how hard she's worked with me on that. Or
you're right. We could handle that in more depth. So, did you have any of those situations? Like you were like disagreed.
I did. I can only think of one, and I waited until after the session was finished, and I just talked to the counselor and shared my thoughts. And I think we did take a different tack, and that was influenced by that.
But so you would say, generally speaking, unless it's something heretical, just let it pass.
Absolutely.
Talk about it later. Mm-hmm. He can bring it back the next week and say, hey, last week, there was something we were talking about, and I think that went a little in a direction that I wasn't thinking. It should go. We'll just talk more about that and correct it then,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a wise way to do it. It's good.
Well, along that same line, would it be also very difficult counseling with someone with maybe brand new and you've been doing it for a long time?
Yeah, that is a challenge, but in a good way. It's fine. We all learn from each other. No matter how long we've been doing this, we have opportunity to learn from each other. So yeah
and I would encourage along these lines the guys in the room that have been counseling for a while or have a lot of experience and all that, you don't know everything, you just don't, and the ladies pick up things you're not going to pick up, because oftentimes as a counselor I'm doing the talking, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, I'm hearing what I'm going this way with them, and she's in more of a listener role, seeing things I'm not seeing, hearing things I'm not hearing. There's the advantage of two people that she can hear things I'm not, and so it's important that we trust the people that we're counseling with. Trust that they're picking up something you're not. Sunny.
Can you define what usurping your authority would be?
Well, the next thing we're going to talk about, that would be you leading the meeting in a particular direction. I've never had that problem. I've never felt like any of our ladies were, you know, starting to be the leader. I don't think it's within the DNA of our church anyways. They're not like that. They need to be encouraged to come out. And I don't think it's really in the DNA of the guys just to sit there and just not, you know, not lead or anything. So I think it's just easy when the whole church thinks this way.
What about us?
counselees come in and say you're counseling with a different pastor, and what would be just taking over the lead?
Yeah, when you're starting to lead the direction of the meeting. Yeah. Okay, one more question in the back, and then we're going to move on to the next.
With homework, I have found out that, you know, I tend to be a little bit more writing in the homework and writing notes or questioning things. And I hesitated to give the guys homework back without having the pastor read what I had written, because I didn't feel it was my place to do that.
So in a co-counseling,
well, Sue, go ahead. No, I don't want to answer that. But Jeremy just reminded me that we should repeat the people's questions.
Oh, you're not hearing the questions?
No, recording.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so remind me of the question again. The homework. Yeah. Okay, so the question is about homework, but I'm going to answer it in a little different way. The question, I'll rephrase the question, because I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to answer a different question, not that question. Who assigns homework? That would be the way I would look at this one. I would say the leader of the meeting, which is the guy, he's the assigner of the homework, but you don't need to assign it on the spot. So if you saw Randy Patton's videos, which you did, if you're in here, he did the assigning. All right, so if we're meeting together as a couple, I'm not going to have her assign homework. I'm going to assign the homework, but I don't need to assign it right then like Randy did. I can just say, hey, we're going to get it back to you later on in the day, and after the meeting, we're going to have a debrief, and then we're going to talk about some of the homework, and then they're going to get it from me. Keeps me in the leadership position. If you have side homework as a lady to lady, you can do whatever you want. But as far as the co-counseling in the marriage situation, that's going to come from me and then come back to me and her. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I was going to say something to that. Every time I've co-counseled with a man, a couple, I have always, like you said, met with the woman outside of that. So the important thing I see from that is balancing the homework. I don't want to give her a ton of homework on the side and then the next hour, because I'll often do it like the hour before we meet as a couple, I'm meeting with her. So she's getting homework from me as well as homework from Steve. And then, so I keep that in mind and don't give an overabundance because she's going to double up with her husband. But yeah, he always assigns the homework for the couple's counseling.
So my wife's not here. She could speak to this too, because we've done a number of co-counseling situations. And here's another model where it might go, where you meet together as a couple 1 week, and the next week you meet separately, and then the next week you come back together as a couple. So you can go, you know, out in like that. And that can give its own difficulties because she's having a conversation with her. I'm having a conversation with him. How do we know who's telling the truth? There can be complications, but there isn't always. But if you come back the next week, you can talk about those things, right? Because sometimes people will share something with you as a woman when her husband's not there, or even when I'm not there, that she's just not comfortable sharing when either guy is there for whatever reason. So sometimes you can find out a little bit more information. You just got to make sure you don't act on that before you come back together, because I've had enough problems with that as well. Okay, let's move on to the second one. Oh, wait, you had a question. I'm sorry, I didn't want to bypass it.
I was just going to ask you, is it always the protocol that, like, you're meeting with a married couple with another lady counselor, should the lady counselors be meeting with a woman? Or, because I helped with another one, and I wasn't necessarily meeting with the woman, but just I was helping, just co-counsel, basically showing up and putting in a little, you know, he would
right.
call me out and say, okay, now so you
the, the question is, when we're co-counseling, do we always have the ladies meet with the ladies separately also? No. Every situation is just going to be a little different.
So it's not, like, necessary?
It might be necessary.
Okay.
It might not be necessary. It depends on how extreme it is, how local they are.
Okay.
The one that Carrie and I did, they were in San Francisco. It's a little hard for them to meet separately. And Carrie lives in Brentwood.
Oh, okay.
So they're both coming like this, you know, so they're going to – it just – But what if there was, well, I won't give a what if. There can be situations where you just need to do that for a while, for a time.
Wait for my pastor's lead to tell me you should meet with her separate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you don't, I mean, should you wait for the pastor to lead that? Probably not necessarily. You may think it's necessary. Okay. If you think, you know what, I think I should meet with her on top of what we're doing here, I think we should then just say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, benefits. All right, girls. Why does it help to have a woman in the room? What are the positives? Whoever has the mic can go first. Oh.
So one of the best positives to me, I think, and I think to the couple that we were counseling, was, like Steve said, you know, when you're counseling by yourself, you've got a million things going through your brain, trying to remember, you know, wait on the Holy Spirit, you know, thinking all those things through. He would be talking to the couple, and I could just look at each of them and pick up on things that he may or may not have picked up on. He probably did. But when he's talking to them, if I can just, you know, kind of look between the two of them, it was incredibly helpful. Their body language, things that they were saying, weren't saying. And then also, since I was new as a counselor anyway, and then in couples counseling, I wrote a ton of notes and just learned a lot about marriages, interaction between spouses, and was able to, you know, to the effect that it helped, was able to share kind of what I picked up on with Steve, and then hopefully that helped as we progressed with this couple.
I'm a huge advocate for having a woman in the room as well as a male for couples counseling. I think it's just really kind to the woman. I think in general that women and men sometimes process things differently, and just two different people will process things differently. So I think in general, Steve takes things at face value. When somebody says something, he believes them. And I think, like Carrie said, maybe partly it's a woman thing, maybe partly it's just a second person in the room thing. But you do have so much more time. And if you're, like when I've met separately with the woman, I get to know her and her body language and everything else. And I often, so many times in marriage, the problem is anger. And I've sat across the table with very intimidated women. And if a woman's not in the room, she's got two men on the other side of the table or whatever. And so I just, I really look at it as a kindness to the woman to have another woman in the room with her. I see that as a big benefit.
I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. One of the valuable aspects of being in the room with another counselor is learning from them. And I learn something almost every time I counsel with someone. So that's just a huge value. So it's wonderful. Even when we counsel together as women, sometimes we can learn so much from each other. And then the other thing, Steve and I were counseling this couple, and he was a very, very angry man. But every now and then you'd see a little light. And I tried really hard to help her see that, to encourage her to see the good in her husband, even though it was really, really hard. So that was something that Steve was busy counseling them, and so I could just acknowledge to her what I saw.
And it was kind of something funny, and I don't know if it was just the dynamics of the people that we were counseling, but I would find if we talked afterwards, he was a lot harder on the husband and I was a lot harder on the wife. So I thought that was interesting, and we could kind of find maybe some mutual ground of, not only finding out what the truth is, but then also, you know, what her role should be and what his role should be. So I thought that was very interesting, and I'm with Sue. Anytime I've ever counseled with another counselor, I learn so much. So it's such a gift. I mean, we don't get to do that very often, but it is a sweet gift to just learn from them and you know, just share what you're learning also. But I thought that was very interesting that I was way harder on her and he was way harder on the husband. And I thought, okay, that was helpful for me because most of the time I meet with women. So just to remember, don't be so hard on them, you know, and just find that level of compassion that he had for them that maybe I don't always have when I'm just meeting with the lady one-on-one.
Yeah, I can comment before giving Caroline a chance to gather herself there. I can tell you that my default button is if the guy fixes things, the marriage gets fixed. So goes the man, so goes the marriage. That's my default button. I rarely find a woman who does not respond when a man's loving his wife as Christ loving the church.
Amen.
Rarely. So I have increasingly, over my 20-plus years of counseling, been harder on the guys.
Kind of piggybacking on what they said about learning from the guy that you're counseling with, just a little different perspective of that. It is fun to see how other people do it. We don't get to see how other people do it. So that's fun, but it's also exciting to see in such a tangible way how the body of Christ works, that the men that I've counseled with have different gifts and abilities, and they use them in the counseling room in different ways. And it's super encouraging just as a member of a body of a church to watch those gifts and actions. It kind of energizes me to even want to do it more. So, yeah, I think has tons of benefits.
Super.
Just to add a little bit to co-counseling, at the end of your session, it is also helpful if, like, especially when I'm counseling with Steve, I can ask him, what could I have done better? You know, how could I help you more? So all of those things are really good to discuss after a session.
So one of you comment on the way men and women receive information from another man or another woman, just how we're kind of different in that way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, they have blank looks. Okay, so we talked about was how some women prefer to hear it from another woman, and some women actually prefer to hear it from another man.
So what was kind of unique about the couple we counseled was she came in kind of like I'm the victim, but that wasn't really the way things played out. She was feisty.
She was a tough cookie.
and this was crazy. I mean, God is sovereign. There was one time they came in and they had a fight to end all fights. I think they might have even come in separate cars. And he had gotten on a crisis issue on the phone. And so here I am, a brand new counselor, and he's like, can't get off the phone. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know you're here. So I sat down with them and just listened to their disaster that had happened. But what was crazy was when he was not in the room, she was not at all wanting to hear my wisdom or counsel, which granted it was new and it was, you know, he's a pastor. But I thought that was very interesting. I did not carry the weight of authority that he carried. So she was much better at hearing wisdom from him. If we had met together, which we didn't, I don't know that she would have submitted to anything I had to say. So I thought that was interesting. And then when he came back in the room, I know I visibly sighed. Yay. But they did too. So that's just a very interesting dynamic. I haven't had that so much with women that I've met with, because if they're not going to want to, you know, fall under God's authority, they're not going to fall under my authority, and we don't end up meeting very long because there's nothing I can help them with. But I just thought that was interesting to witness that dynamic with this couple, that she was not real interested in anything I had to say, even if it was from the Word of God. She was, you know, if he said it, that was something. If I said it,
I think especially the times when I've met with the wife separately, I hear her point of view, and Sue spoke to this a little bit, but I can remember each time very specifically the relief on the husband's face when I acknowledged that he was doing something right. I mean, that you know, I've met with the wife separately. I've heard so much about what he's doing wrong and what she desires, and then to acknowledge that. And I really looked at it, too, as modeling to her how she should be communicating in her marriage. When he does something right, point it out. Like, that was great. You know, he admitted that he sinned or something, anything. He gave you a compliment. He supported your decision, whatever it was. Like, did you hear that? Like, I could find myself like, did you just hear what he said? Because that should put a smile on your face. So, and the relief on the husband's face, because, you know, usually with marriage problems, it's both both ways. And he can feel beaten down by her as much as she's intimidated by him or whatever. And they both need to hear that from each other. So, yeah, I think it's good for the man then to watch for the same things and comment to the woman. It is nice to hear it from both. But I think we should guard against the danger of only, like, the women only speaking to the wife and the male counselor only speaking to the husband.
Yeah, by the co-counsel talking to the guy, we are not usurping the role of the leadership of the guy. So if you're thinking about 1 Timothy 2, that's just two people sharing with two people. I'm still leading the meeting, right? So that's the way it should be. I mean, I want them to pipe in, and I really benefit when they do. Go ahead.
I had a recent counseling session where the husband didn't really, like you said, didn't really want to hear from me. Every time I spoke, he kind of didn't look at me and just wasn't hearing anything that I had to say. And so I switched. And instead of speaking to him, I kept asking him questions. And that totally changed the information that I got from him. So that was really helpful.
See, that's the feminine, gracious way. Guys just come at each other, you know, in the playground. Guys just sock each other in the face. They get up and they go off and they're best friends, you know. But the more kind and gentle response, that's it. That's really good, asking questions rather than making statements. Okay, I'll make a couple of comments, and then we'll open the floor up to the benefits. We still have one more section to cover. But some things I find helpful. One is the feminine way, the way a woman says things. When I've co-counseled with my wife, I always think, I wish I could say things the way she says them. I'm just very straightforward. Why are you laughing? Yeah, I'm just like, you don't really have to wonder what I think about something or how I'm feeling about something. This doesn't mean I'm not being loving. I think I am. But it's just a different way where she's just wrapped in grace. And just there's just a lot of wisdom in the way my wife says the things that she says. So I love the feminine way. And one of the benefits there is that when the husband is hearing my wife talk, he gains more confidence in when my wife counsels the gal. You follow me? How else does he know other than she's my wife? What does that mean? She's just my wife. He doesn't know, right? But then he hears her talk, he'll gain confidence that the two of them, when they get together, that it's a good thing. Even they could just go on my word, but it helps. Filling in the gaps, like I said, you just can't know everything. You're not seeing and hearing everything that's going on. So the second person is really helpful. The two heads are better than one. And then one other one that's kind of what we've been talking about, but a little differently, confirming or disagreeing with a direction that I'm going. I don't want my co-counsel to just say, okay, whatever you want. That's not why I brought you in. I want to know what you think about the direction that we're going. And if you're hearing something, seeing something that I'm not, I really want to know that because overall I'm trying to help a couple. So you're helping me help the couple. Let's help together. And whatever you're picking up, and if I said something that you heard me say something, maybe I said that, or maybe I didn't say it, or whatever. Like, if you heard me say something that was like, I don't think you meant to say this, but this is how it came across, or this is what I heard. Did you mean to say that? I want to hear all that, you know? So I really like the filling in of the gaps, and I really like to know that we are heading in the same direction, that she's good with that and I'm good with that, and that presents a united front as we go forward with things. And even though, like Sue said, we're not going to cover everything in a meeting. We don't have to cover every single thing in a meeting, but we will get to everything over a period of weeks or a couple of months or whatever it is. Okay. The other thing you ladies, you might want to do along these lines is to ask him after your meeting, how can I be more helpful in the counseling process? What would you like me to do? Just give me some ideas. He may not have a clue right then and there, right? But he might later on. Give him a chance to process that. Okay, so the next section we're going to cover after the benefits is things that she can do to be helpful, kind of going down that road anyways. Let's just go ahead and do that. And you all are starting to, you have questions that you're writing down? Because we're going to be done with this in about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll have a good 15 minutes to hear questions. All right, so Sue, things that that she can do to be helpful.
Well, I love asking questions. And so, and that's how I get understanding. So if there's, in fact, when I'm counseling with Steve, I hardly ever make statements. I mostly just ask questions that lead maybe in the direction that I think he's going. And so I just want to help in that way.
And I don't mind if you're asking questions, like one the other day, eventually you did start to make comments because I could tell you she was not picking up where you wanted to go with that. So you're just like, okay, I'm done asking questions. I'm going to tell you what's what here. So you started to do that. And I don't care if that was in a different direction than I might have been going, because you were on to something. And that's the mutual trust in the counseling relationship. I came to you with this particular situation because I wanted that kind of advice. I wanted that kind of teamwork on that. She already knows the gal. So when you started heading in a different direction, I came to you because I was like, I'm not sure. There's something I'm picking up here. I won't go into the issue, but I'm picking up something, and I don't really know what the answer is. I know what's going on, but I don't know what's the cause. And so I was seeking her counsel on that with the gal in the room. So I was fine with her going down a different direction. I didn't really have a specific direction that I did not want to go down. It was fine. It was good, actually.
Yeah, and it was helpful that we talked about it before we met with her. So we kind of did have a game plan, even though as we kept asking questions, things changed a little bit.
I have kind of a, I don't know if it's a funny story, but it wasn't the time I counseled with you. It was the other guy in the church, and it was a really hard marriage situation. The wife was extremely fearful. The husband was extremely angry, and I had met with her like 12 weeks before we even started couples counseling, and literally it was tiny baby steps. But I remember so vividly one session. I mean, we were starting to make super good progress, which meant she was kind of pushing back harder because she was so fearful. And the husband started losing patience and pushing some buttons. And I literally, the guy, the male counselor next to me, was looking at his iPad and was, I mean, he was doing a good job. He was, you know, on track. He just didn't know her as well as I did. And I could see the fear building in her face, in her whole body. And if I hadn't interrupted him, she would have bolted out. She came so close to bolting out the door. And that was the one time I said, can I just interrupt for a second? And I looked at her. I said, are you okay? Can we just slow down and talk about this? And her eyes were like as big as saucers. But he did thank me afterwards that that was a good catch. But yeah, it is nice to have the two sets of eyes.
Well, there's one more on here that's probably important. And since I'm the question asker, we also have to be careful not to ask the question that totally messes up the whole conversation and brings you to another place when you're digging deep into another spot. So just to be wise in the questions that you ask.
So if you had asked a question that was like veering way off, like let's say I know a direction I want to go in the meeting, and you ask a question that takes me to a completely different topic that I want to handle some other time. If that were to happen, you can let that, you know, veer off. But if you know where you want to go as the guy, I would just say that's a great question, but it's another topic that I we don't have enough time to deal with that one. And I want, but we are going to deal with where she's going with that. That puts everybody at ease. Oh yeah, there were several other things. Have we? Okay.
So I guess things that are helpful, just like Carolyn was saying, being sensitive to the people in the room and what they might be going through, because, you know, for example, whoever's leading the meeting is very focused on, you know, leading the meeting, and you might see something that he's not quite seeing. So that's a great role that we can have as women, is to just try to keep a finger on the pulse of the meeting and make sure that we stop if somebody is not being heard, or we're seeing something in them that maybe he's not seeing. So it's a good thing.
Okay, another thing that I like to do is quotes. So while he's counseling, I am writing statements that the counselees are saying in quotes so that we can talk about it another time, or, you know.
Yeah. That's excellent.
All three of you do that? Okay. Wow. John?
So what purpose do those quotes serve?
So the question is, on those quotes, what purpose do writing down those quotes serve?
Well, because in my experience, sometimes some really weird, unbiblical things come out of their mouth as they're going down a rant about why she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. And sometimes they'll say something really bizarre that I know, like, that's her issue. She's, you know, but she can't articulate it, you know. And so when the time comes, I'll go back and say, excuse me, I just want to clarify something you said, because I know it's of concern to your wife. And then he'll have to explain what he said. The words came out of his mouth, and it really, like, just slows down the rants. And then I think it's helpful to him to learn words matter. And when you're just ranting at your wife, you say things that you really don't mean, that really don't make sense. And so it just helps slow things down.
A really basic example, which Steve would pounce on in a second, but this is an example. If the husband said, I can't forgive her, right? So that would be something I would write down in case he didn't say something about it, even though he would.
I might not every time. I mean, there might be more pressing things that were, you know, he just might have just popped that out of nowhere. So I might just go, I know I need to deal with that, obviously, but I may be getting, if I didn't, I might be looking for more comments like that. Like, if I just pounce on it, maybe he won't say anything else that he shouldn't say, that he's actually thinking. So I won't always do that.
So to more directly, I guess, answer your question or wrap up kind of what we were saying, is I think the reason the three of us would write down something is because we think it needs some attention. So if the counselor that's leading the session didn't follow up with it, or, you know, sometimes when you're counseling, you don't hear everything. So afterwards, I would say to him, did you hear him say, or whatever, or did you hear her say? And he'll either say, yeah, I did, I'm going to deal with it, or no, wow, you know, I didn't hear that. So, you know, I love having a second counselor in the room. It's awesome.
I think that's true for having two females counts another female, or two guys counts a guy. It's just the dynamics of having two people in are really good. I know that takes a lot of resources, and most churches don't have those resources. And actually, we have a lot of resources, but not enough to make that happen in every counseling case, too many counseling cases. But it is really nice to have a second person. Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, when you write down those quotes and you repeat those back, have you ever had the counselee kind of hear that quote and maybe make an impression upon them in terms of what they said, where they hadn't necessarily thought about what they were saying until they actually heard it again out loud?
So repeat the question first.
I think she's asking about you.
Repeat the question first.
The question, I think, is, have you had repeated a quote that a counselee said and then had them rethink what they were saying? I would say practically all the time. I mean, that's the purpose of doing it, is that some people, words come out so fast. They're such fast processors, and they're so used to, like, pounding into their spouse. They've never been taught good communication skills. to repeat back, and the spouse is so intimidated, they just shut down, which is part of the whole problem of not communicating well, that when you slow them down and say, this is what you said, what, and this is what she listens to and has to deal with. Is that really the way you want to talk to your wife? You know, and they are surprised, and I think it's super helpful to do it. Yeah.
Okay, so there's one more bullet on there. I'll mention it because I want to get to the fourth one is cautions about co-counseling from Carrie. But before that, I think it's good for the ladies to come in with ideas for homework before the meeting and after the meeting. I'd like to know what directions you think we need to go. And I also think the ladies ought to have some points that they want to make in the counseling meeting ready to go. That they're not silent partners, right? And it doesn't need to be on the fly. Things happen on the fly. But it's great if they have a couple of things that they want to make sure they communicate in that appointment. Hopefully they've already seen the schedule, or I'm not the best at that. But if you get them ahead of time, that here's the agenda a day ahead of time, they have a chance to think through, okay, so we're going to talk about this, this, and this. I want to make sure I say this, this, and this, or at least it gets said. So I think having your own plans ahead will be helpful. Okay, so co-counseling. Carrie, talk about the way you're viewing this now.
Okay, so it was funny because when Steve asked me to be on this panel, I don't know that he knew this about me, but I don't co-counsel with men anymore. And the
Once
reason,
was enough.
No, it was twice with him and then another man. But the reason is, because I place myself under whoever I'm counseling, their authority. And in my flesh, I'm always looking for that person's approval. So it also, believe me, when you start co-counseling with somebody on a marriage, everything under the sun comes up. So you're going to be talking about their sex life with somebody that's not your husband. So the third time I got asked to counsel in a situation like that, I said, oh, this makes me so uncomfortable. You know, I was with the first two situations, I was probably sharing a little bit more, not names, but details with my husband, because I felt really weird having a sexual conversation about a married couple with somebody else that's not my husband. So my husband always knows generally what I'm counseling about because it does affect me. I mean, I'm not a robot. People that I'm counseling, their life does affect my life. So anyway, since they passed the baton, since he passed it to Jeremy, I said, you know, I don't want to do co-counseling with a man anymore. I will counsel the wife, but when it comes together, you know, if that's the situation, then, you know, I'm not really your person. And that's okay. I just need to know, you know, I felt convicted that that was a tenuous situation that I didn't want to continue to put myself in. If it were my husband, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I think the benefits are amazing, like these ladies are saying, and like I've seen. And I'm so encouraged because, like, you and your husband are going through this. I don't know if you're going to counsel together, you know, at some point, but there's a lot of young married couples that are now growing up in the Lord and counseling. Well, Marcy and your husband, you and your husband counsel. And I think that's fantastic. It grows your marriage. It grew my marriage just seeing what other people go through. I would go home and tell my husband how much I appreciated him. So it is fantastic. And I am fully behind it, but I can't counsel with my husband at this point. Maybe someday. So anyway, that's where I stand. I'm just cautious. And that started to bother me. I thought, I don't think I want to keep doing that with somebody that's not my husband. So
maybe you guys could do premarital counseling.
Right.
Together.
All right.
So that's where Carrie's come to. The other two have not come to that place. But there's wisdom in what she's saying. So I'll end it with taking it this direction and then open it up to some questions. I would say this, that this has been a policy of mine, and that is to not co-counsel with one of my female counselors consecutively. So I'm not going to do, when I did a case with Sue, I didn't do a case with Sue again right away. We didn't do another case for probably a year. It's just some extended period of time. That has nothing to do with Sue or me or her and I. Or it's just generally, you don't know what's going on in any person's mind or their marriage. You have no idea. And when you're co-counseling with a pastor particularly, you think there's just a different dynamic to listening to a pastor pray, to hearing a pastor's wisdom on things. And there can be a little bit of idolization. Not that any of these would idolize me. I'm quite sure they do not. But you don't know, you know, what's going on in a person's life. So it's just not wise. There's such, this is what you're hinting at, there's such intimacy going on when you're talking across the table and praying with each other. It's just, those are intimate moments. And I would really caution you to be careful about that. So one of the ways you can stay away from trouble is just don't co-counsel consecutively. Just let some time pass, right? It's good. It's good for both people. So that's how we, one of the ways that we stay out of trouble. And we don't have private meetings. No, I don't have a private meeting with a female counselor outside the office over coffee at Starbucks. That's just insane. You know? So, and we're super careful about that kind of stuff. So that's my last caution on that. So let's, we have a couple of minutes for some questions. Go.
Are there any other scenarios besides marriage counseling that you find benefit from a co-counseling environment?
Two females, any other situations where we find it an advantage to co-counseling? Two ladies counseling a lady, two guys counseling a guy, but a gal and a guy counseling a guy or a gal? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When, especially with kids, and the one that Sue and I were just referring to is not a kid, but she's really close to it. And we're not counseling the couple yet. Yeah, good question. I saw another hand over here. Cheryl.
Guidelines for the male leader. We've had a lot of guidelines for the women. How about for the male?
Guidelines? Besides having me meet beforehand with your co-counselor, meet after to debrief, those two things. Trust her. I think I said that. Trust her wisdom. That's why you brought her in. She does know what she's doing. That's why she's counseling, you know. And she does know women better than you do. So.
And be the leader.
Yeah, be the leader. Take the lead. Don't. This men make the mistake of pulling back and letting the women come forward, and then that puts them in an awkward position. And if you're not going to lead it, then they are going to. And that's not where actually any of them want to be. So make sure that you do take that lead. So you have an agenda. You come in with homework. Here's what we're thinking about next. What do you think? You're moving it along. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is, and maybe I'm overstating it, it's just unwise to have a continuous co-counseling relationship with a particular couple on a marriage issue with as a guy with somebody who's not your wife. Am I hearing that right?
So is it generally unwise to have a long-term co-counseling situation
with a period of, let's say, 8 to 10 weeks, like a typical might run?
So if it's 8 to 10 weeks, I don't think it's unwise.
Okay.
6 months? You know, it depends how much conversation that you're having. If you're talking like on the phone, both before or after, or in between and all that, yeah, that's not wise. The more time you spend, the less wise that it is. But 8 to 10 weeks is fine. 16 weeks is fine. I mean, but are you talking about sex for those 16 weeks? Well, maybe not. You know, maybe there's another way to do that. And that does come up a lot. But it's not like you're all reading Intended for Pleasure and discussing it.
Steve, the other thing, maybe this is what you're talking about too. I think what Steve was saying, you can follow through with a couple for the duration of that thing, but Steve doesn't want to pick like one female counselor to be his go-to partner to do couples counseling.
Right.
Like he just rotates
and that's what I was really
through them.
That's
yeah.
It.
Is it okay to finish a with a couple?
Oh, yeah.
And yes.
That's exactly what I mean. Finish it off. Give it some time.
Yeah,
okay, we are out of time,
like
but we will stay
team
up here. So feel free to come up. You guys have a break till 3:30.